So for every single day this year, I'm going to draw for 10 minutes a day. And you might think, who cares? That sounds really easy. And it is actually really easy to do. Anybody can do something for 10 minutes a day. I've been doing this for about a month and a half now. And it seemed like a very easy task or a very easy goal to do or whatever. But it turns out, after a month and a half of doing this, it seems like it might just be the best thing ever. Like it might be what I've been missing for a long time. Now, of course, incidentally, many, many times in the past, I have drawn every day for, you know, a long period of time or whatever. But something about this seems a little bit different, and I like it a whole lot. So I want to talk about it. And I'm completely aware that a big part of my excitement for it might just be the fact that it's new and there's the novelty effect, and maybe I'm just too excited, but it seems like a different type of excitement, and I'm excited about that different type of excitement. So I don't totally know how to get into it. I don't really have a structure for this. I just want to talk about it. I have found myself telling just about every single person I see that I'm doing this and how awesome it is. And they can't seem to see why it's so exciting, but I'm here to try to convey what's going on in hopes that maybe somebody else will have the same excitement over this kind of thing.
Well, so to give you a little bit of my perspective and just what I'm coming into this conversation with is that over the past few weeks, I've started playing around with this idea of building a sort of habit app for myself. Remember, for kind of the pre-winter break, New Year's resolution-y type of things, I said that the sort of theme for me for this year is going to be trying to get things out there into the world rather than just working on stuff kind of by myself. So I was thinking about what could I do? What do I want to do? And so I started thinking about how I've put this big focus myself on habits, and I've sort of naturally started building little tools, or in some cases just text files and things, to try and keep track of my habits, and that kind of resets every day. I was thinking that I should make an app, if nothing else, just for myself. But then I was thinking, no, the theme this year for me is to put things out there, to get it out into the world. And so I kind of set myself a goal. I don't know exactly when the deadline is, but I want to get this out there and try and see if I can get other people to start using it. But it's gotten me thinking even more than I already was about habits, and in particular, daily habits, or at least things you do every weekday or something. Just the cycle that you go through every day and all the little things that are included there or not included there. And why is it that some habits seem to stick and work really well to the point where you don't even realize that they're there anymore, and others are so difficult and all that stuff. So I've been playing around with a few different ideas, and we don't really have to get into this today because it's pretty half-baked to begin with, but that's what I've been thinking a lot about, is habits. And with your experience of sort of doing well and then not doing well and struggling with this daily personal art thing, I mean, you said the last 6 weeks you've been doing this and feeling really good about it. And I would be the first to point out the novelty effect and how everything feels good at first, but 6 weeks is pretty good. That's usually the novelty effect is usually a bit shorter than that. I would guess more like 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. So not to say you're safe, but saying you're coming off of a solid 6 weeks is not nothing. So I guess to start, just tell me what it is, or what do you think it is about this that feels like it's working? What is it about the, you know, 10 minutes every day sounds simple, but 10 minutes is short. It's not that short. Every day is a pretty important qualifier. I mean, why is it that this feels like it's working?
Well, a lot of this is probably specific to me and the problems I've dealt with
Maybe not.
Well, I'll describe it and you can tell me if this is specific or not. So with art, it has, or any art venture I've had seems to be very clunky. I don't really know a better word for that, but you know, I can do a job. I mean, I'm given a job, I can do the research, I can do the drawing, I can get it done. And I do that at work all the time. For my own stuff though, there seems to be this, I don't know, clunkiness to it where I'm always running into frustration. I mean, like heavy frustration in certain areas. And there's a lot of just drawing abilities that I lack, or I seem to run into these dead ends so often that I just don't have a solution to. And I end up, you know, asking myself, well, what's the right way to do it? I don't know how to do this or whatever, but it's art, especially if it's my own personal stuff. It's just art. But I just seem to keep getting stuck in these weird little loops of, I don't know how to do this or whatever. It's kind of hard to explain, but a lot of frustration. Now, I was playing guitar the other day, and music I have done since I was 10 years old. And I can sit with a guitar. If you handed me a guitar and told me to play for 10 hours straight, I could do it. It might not be the best sounding music you've ever heard, but I could play for 10 hours straight with zero frustration other than, you know, some, I wish I could remember this song, or, you know, I wish I could play this a little bit better. But other than that, like, I would be totally fine. Just, you know, playing bits and pieces of songs or mixing stuff together. I could play a continuous song for 10 hours. It would definitely not be great, but I could do it. Yeah. And it would be fun. If you gave me a pencil and a pad of paper and said, draw for 10 hours, I would sit there, get very frustrated and think, I don't know what to draw. That I don't know. Even though I do this every single day, there's still like this missing playfulness that I just don't have when it comes to art stuff. I mean, sometimes I feel like I have it, sometimes I don't. It just kind of comes and goes, and it's just clunky. So I pick up my guitar the other day, and I'm just playing around with it, like you do. And there's no frustration, there's just nothing. It's just kind of fun. And I'm like, man, why do I never feel this way with drawing? Why does that never happen? And so I start thinking, like, what is the equivalent? So, you know, I'm just noodling around on guitar, playing things I know, mixing things together, whatever, half writing stuff, but not really caring. I'm not going to, you know, record anything or write it down. I'm just sort of playing. So I'm like, okay, what is the equivalent of art? And it's just sitting down with a pencil and drawing stuff. That's it. Like that is it. And so I'm like, man, when it came to music, I mean, I've written a lot of songs, some of them good, some of them not, whatever. But how I always came up with ideas for the songs was just from playing around on guitar. And then eventually you find something like, oh, I really like this. And then you just kind of follow that thread and you weave it into a song. With art, it's always been this, I think of a specific thing and then I come up with these, you know, methods to try to get to that or kind of build it out or whatever. And that works, and you need methods in order to do that kind of thing. But I want something more organic. I want to be able to play around and discover ideas and then sort of build off of them. I know this is a little abstract, but it makes sense. So I decided, well, what if I just played around for at least, you know, 10 minutes? And so I'm just, you know, you put a couple scribbles on the page, you see what you can find, you just start drawing. I mean, it's that simple. Or you might have a little idea, you just kind of play with it, you draw it, whatever, that's it. So I've been playing around with drawing, no direct expectations, no specific goals in mind. It's not like I want to create one perfect drawing or I want to do one drawing a day. It's not like that, which I have done those types of goals before. And they kind of stopped working because, I don't know, you run into this weird frustration with it, or you can't finish it in a day, or if you were going to finish it, it would take 3 hours or whatever. And so eventually you just stop doing it. But this is different because it's just whatever you can do, you do. And then the next day, maybe you just keep building on that, or you start something else or whatever. And some days I have had the worst god-awful drawings I've ever done. And then other days it's like, oh, wow, I didn't even know that I could sit down and draw this. I'm not using any reference. I'm not, you know, I'm just drawing from memory, imagination. You're just sort of doing stuff. And you sort of, you know, you just kind of see what comes out of it. And so I've been practicing playfulness, I guess, specifically, is just playing around. And so I think I mentioned last episode or whenever that I was going to fill up this big brown paper thing. I tried that for a few days. It didn't really work that well. So I switched to a sketchbook and I've been going in that ever since. And it feels great. I mean, I can flip back a few pages and see improvement or other failures or whatever. I can build on techniques that I'm using. Like, oh, that actually worked. I'm going to play around with that. And you keep using it. And I feel like it's removed any resistance. Not any. It's removed a lot of resistance to drawing, period. Which always seemed to build up. You know, if I hadn't drawn for 3 days, you feel like you don't want to start drawing because you know it's going to be bad. And so you avoid it. But this is like, if I do the bad drawing, you know, in 10 minutes in the morning, it's like, okay, well, that's out of the way. And then you just kind of have fun the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And maybe once or twice I've only drawn for 10 minutes, but of course, once you draw for 10 minutes, you want to draw more. And so for the rest of the day, I mean, I'm coming home and I just want to draw and we got to do a podcast, but I just want to draw. And so it's just sort of, I don't know, just you get that hard part out of the way in the beginning. You see, my relationship with drawing has changed from, or is beginning to change from this resistance or difficulty or frustrating thing to just kind of, oh yeah, it's playtime. And you just sort of play around. And then when it comes time to do more specific projects that, you know, have a direct end goal or whatever, you're able to be more playful through the entire process rather than, I don't know. So does that kind of make sense to you?
Well, yeah, it one of the things that we kind of hit upon pretty early, even going back to the earliest days of the podcast, was that a lot of the issues that we run into that we attribute to time management, you know, the, like, oh, I procrastinate and why, like, oh, get a calendar and write things down, whatever, that it's, these things are almost never a time management problem, and that these things are an emotional problem. And the way you're describing it makes it sound like you are trying to solve this problem of you putting time into drawing or doing your own personal art and trying to solve the emotional part of it, which is, for some reason, you can sit down and play guitar all day long and enjoy it the way you would hope to, but you can't do that with drawing. And it's funny because I think about guitar playing, and I recently bought a new guitar. Well, not even that recently, months ago. And my goal was to play it every day and work on these really cool songs that I really like, and I haven't done it. And I'll kind of get started and then fall off. And I have so far not been able to really establish a habit of playing the guitar. And guitar is kind of like art for me, in that I played guitar a lot and I loved it, and then I went to school and played it a lot with a lot of sort of emotional baggage tied up with it, and ever since then it has been really difficult for me to go back to it, because as soon as I touch that thing, there's just a lot of feelings that come up, and you know, I cannot play without just being constantly bombarded by this thought of, I used to be so much better than this,
right?
And just the path to get back to where I used to be is really long, never mind trying to improve. And you could say, man, why can you only think about guitar playing as some sort of, you know, skill level endeavor? And yeah, I know, I wish I didn't only think of it that way, but it's hard not to. Anyway, I feel that emotional burden very strongly with guitar playing, and I can totally appreciate that for something like, you know, art. I mean, we've talked about this at length, but working on your art is part of the main quest. It's part of the master plan for, you know, life. And so, of course, that has a lot of weight to it. So, anyway, I want to kind of hear more about it, but it sounds like in broad strokes, that's kind of what you're addressing or trying to address, is to take drawing out of that very emotional, intense place that it has been and try and put it somewhere where it's just fun and you're able to do the drawing and have your mind entirely occupied by just what you're doing in the moment, not thinking, you know, about the past or future, whatever, and just enjoying what's happening there. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I've actually had this similar experience with music, and I feel like I sort of, not to jinx myself, but I kind of cracked the code on the music like maybe 6 months ago, because I always had this emotional baggage to it and I didn't want to pick it up. I hadn't touched piano in maybe, yeah, I don't know, 7 years or something. And I sat down at a piano and it's like absolutely nothing was there. It was all gone. Everything. And I would try to play a song that I thought I could remember, and it was just, there were just no notes there, or not a single right note, and nothing made sense. And I was like, oh my God, this is scary. But it happened when my wrist started really hurting, and I was thinking, do I have carpal tunnel? Is this the end? Am I slowly going to lose the ability, you know, the use of my hand? Yeah. Is this it? And I started thinking about, God, I would really miss music. And I hadn't played music in for so long, but I guess that's what made me start playing again. It's not really cracking the code. It was just sort of this incident of
kind of like existential dread that led you back.
But okay, so one aspect of this I was thinking about is, you know how adults learn languages? You know, most adults learn languages. They go, you know, memorize vocabulary words, do flashcards, whatever. Memorize phrases. It's very specific. And they might even, you know, block out a set of time. I'm going to learn Spanish for 30 minutes a day or whatever. And they practice these phrases, these words, whatever. And then they get up and they leave and that's it. But if you think of the baby, I love that we always go back to the baby, but think of the baby. The baby learns a word and then another word or a bunch of sounds, and they just babble on all day long. They mix the noises. They randomly hit on a word and you think they said their first word, and they just keep going. They mix stuff and they just play around and they just make noises. And it's just this fluid thing that sometimes it gets right, sometimes it doesn't. They could care less, but they're taking tiny bits of information. They don't really know that they're doing this, but they're taking tiny bits of information, throwing them into this soup, and it just kind of mixes around, and sometimes something appears, or, you know, and that's kind of how it works. And if I think back to when I was playing guitar, it was the same thing. I would learn a song, then I'd learn another song, and then I'd sit there for a few hours, and I would mix the songs, play the chords, change the chords, you know, change a strumming song to a finger-picking song, or, you know, whatever, and you just mess around with stuff. I would take, you know, block chord stuff, try to work in the melody and finger pick, whatever. You just play around with it. It's like you're liquefying everything. You take all these random bits of information and you turn them to liquid and you just mix them up and you play with it. And that's how this type of drawing is feeling for me, is I'm, instead of this rigid academic, I have to learn this, I have to learn this, or this is how you complete a picture, exactly right. It's, no, this is the liquefying part. This is the, you just take things from your memory, you know, something you saw yesterday, you try to draw it, or some little technique you saw, you play around with it, or you just try to turn a scribble into a drawing, and that sort of engages these weird parts of your brain that are recalling, like, types of form or shadows, or just things start appearing that you thought you wouldn't even have. And it's just kind of amazing. Not that I've, you know, it become so incredible after doing this for a month and a half, but it's really surprised me sometimes what I'm able to draw versus, you know, what I thought I never could, or, you know, without reference, drawing without reference. Oh my God, it's so scary. And you think you know nothing. And then you keep drawing, and then weirdly things start to come to you and you start finding them. And it's like you, I don't know, you start exploring this part of your brain that actually has these bits of information. And then you mix them with other things and you end up with new ideas. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of amazing. And so, you know, if I was going to sit down with an academic book and you start learning some specific things, now I have a place to play with those things. And, you know, now I have a place to be the babbling baby and start mixing all these things together and having fun with it rather than feeling like it has to be done in exact perfect way. And I think this is kind of how you find yourself as an artist or as a musician. It's that it's in the complete automatic playfulness is when you find what you actually like and how you do things. Like with music, if you said write a song, a sad song or whatever, I would not think, what's the right way to do that? I would not care at all. I would sit down and play sad things that I already know. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, try to compose a song that sounded sad, how that would sound to me. And that's the only thing I would care about. If you said compose a sad picture, I'd be like, oh man, I gotta look up, you know, some stuff in books because I gotta make sure I do it right. It's like, no, yeah. I mean, the book stuff is great, but that beginning portion has to come from you. What is the sad type of drawing that you already know, that you've already played with? You know, like what makes a picture look sad to you? And that's kind of how you find yourself, I think. So that's the type of thinking I'm thinking about when I'm doing this stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. So going back to my teaching days when I had a bunch of students and whatnot, and I know you did too. Sometimes you would encounter the person who would play around all the time. And I don't know how to define that word exactly, but you know, they play guitar a lot, they play piano a lot, but they never got better. They just would not progress.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would feel this in myself. This got this way on piano. I remember this pretty distinctly, where I was trying to get better at improvising and just doing stuff, coming up with music on the fly. And I felt so stuck in that. I just felt like I would always land on the same chords, doing the same things, and the sound, you know, wasn't literally the same, but it just sounded the same. And I just didn't feel like it was going anywhere. So I feel like I know part of what you're trying to do is to not be so concerned with, well, I have to get better and I have to push myself. But I also am familiar with the sort of danger or I don't know. There's like this sand pit in the playground where you just kind of get stuck. So what do you think separates those two, where you're able to play around and explore and create new things and get better, but also, I mean, how do you navigate that?
So if we're going back to the soup metaphor, let's say a beginner, okay, they got a bowl, all right, and they put some broth in there, right? Like they just learned their first song, Smoke on the Water or whatever, and they eat the broth and it's pretty plain. So they want to learn a little bit more. So throw, I don't know, a piece of chicken in there and some rice or whatever. Like, this is pretty good, but I want more. So they learn, you know, 100 songs and they play for 5 years or something. They know a lot. So they have a pretty fancy bowl of soup. Well, they don't really need to add much more to that. They can sit there and eat the soup and they're satisfied and it's fine. And they're good. And that's pretty much where I ended up with guitar and piano eventually as well, is that I can sit down and play and I can sort of impress people. And I'm kind of at a point where, you know, I can write songs or whatever. I haven't done that in so long. I'm not like a professional musician, but I can play around and be pretty satisfied. And that has sort of been the death of my music. Because I had enough in the soup to just be satisfied. So yes, absolutely. Only playing around is a dead end. I mean, eventually you sort of run out of the ingredients that you have. And if you ever want to be better, you have to start adding new ingredients, things that you don't understand, things that you have to learn about and push yourself to learn these things. Yeah. So you need a stream of new material for any of these things in order to improve. But if all you're doing is adding ingredients and not mixing and cooking them or baking them or whatever, if you're not putting them together and playing around with them, then you don't get their full use, or you don't understand them completely, or you run the risk of certain ingredients going bad before you actually get to use them, or whatever. I've lost myself in this metaphor, but I have, like with art, I have learned so many things and then forgotten even more things, because I just have always felt like I don't really have this home base where it all sort of attaches to. Like, so many things just fall off because they don't relate to what I'm doing right away or whatever. And some of that is expected with anything, is you're going to forget stuff. But I feel like with art, it's just sort of you throw stuff on it. For me, I have thrown stuff on it and it just disappears. And, I learned the entire skeleton from memory or whatever, and then it's gone. Because I'm not playing with it. I'm not using it. I did use a skull in a recent painting, and that came in handy. But a lot of that stuff just kind of goes away because I'm not playing around. I'm not finding ways to sort of bring up past experiences or learned things. So, absolutely. If all you do is play around, you will not improve necessarily. You need a steady stream of new information. And that's actually one thing I'm trying to figure out, is at what point do I start trying to throw new information in? Like, do I look at stuff for 10 minutes and then go draw? Or do I go draw and then... I don't know. So far, when I've done the drawing at the beginning of the day, it brings up so many questions. Oh, yeah. How does a nose actually look? Why can't I draw eyes the way I want to draw them? And so during the day, I'm looking at people and trying, and just sort of observing these things. And then I include them in the next day's drawing or at night or whatever. And you start answering some of these questions. So a lot of the playing around is actually, it's giving you questions to ask, and the information is gathered during the day. And then you go play around with that new information when you get home. So that's what I'm finding with art. And with music, I would hope that while you're playing, you're sort of developing questions. And when you listen to music, you're answering them. Or when you're, walking around, you figure out a melody in your head and you go play it or whatever. But yeah, I absolutely understand the dead end that only playfulness will get you.
Okay, so let's kind of change tack a little bit. I want to talk about the logistics of what you've set up. It sounds like things are working. It sounds like you are in the right emotional state of mind. But, you've tried to do stuff before. And we're talking about you here, but I've done very similar things and am trying to get going on similar things and haven't gotten there yet, right? But I want to talk about the actual design of this habit or this thing that you're doing. You said it is 10 minutes, like you're shooting for 10 minutes. It's in the morning, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume this is before you drive to work.
Yeah.
So what is your actual morning routine around this? Just in real simple terms, what do you do?
Wake up, coffee, sit down and draw, get interrupted, take the dogs out, come back. Draw a little more. I set the timer 10 minutes and I draw for 10 minutes. And then if I have time, which I usually do, I will continue drawing until I have to get ready for work.
Okay. But you are getting up earlier.
At a decent time. Yeah.
Same time every day? Or is this vary?
Recently it's varied a bit, but I have been generally better in the last month than I have been a couple months ago.
Regardless, you're not getting up with 3 minutes to walk out the door to go to work. Like you're getting up with time.
I have 10 minutes. And even if I didn't, I'll just be 10 minutes late to work. Yeah.
Right. Because who cares about work?
But so I think what you're after is I have not drastically changed my schedule to accommodate this.
Yeah.
It kind of fits right in.
Yeah. Well, so there's a couple things that I think are interesting. One, it's first thing in the morning. I am such a believer in that. I never thought I would be, but I think the first thing you do is should be the thing you care about the most, because, well, for a few reasons, right? So you do this thing first thing, your mind is largely empty. I think there's something, this is a weird comparison. You know how if you go out and you start drinking, like you have beer number two, and you know, you start to feel the buzz happening, and the trip up is like very fun. You're like, oh man, I'm feeling good. This is cool. And okay, maybe you have beer number three, and you know, a little bit after you kind of peak, and you know, you're feeling good. But then you start to come down off of the buzz, and that's like less fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so you come down to like the same level of buzz you were when you had that first beer, and it is nowhere near as fun. For whatever reason, you're like, eh, all right, I'm almost sober and I don't feel so great. And like, you're not really in party mode anymore. Not that I'm like encouraging excess drinking or anything, right? But okay, that is an experience that I seem to have, and most of the people do too. There is something about you wake up, you have your drug, your coffee, caffeine stimulant, and your mind is waking up and you're starting to become more aware and you're starting to become more focused. And that, like riding that curve up, feels very good. And I feel very clear-headed and well-focused and interested in what I'm doing. Like, it is just a really good state of mind. As I, you know, peak and start to come down, where maybe I'm just as focused as I was, or just as energetic as I was halfway through my first cup of coffee. But because I'm headed down, it is not the same experience at all. I'm ready to be done. I don't really like this anymore. Something about the curves there are just very different. So I think that ramp upwards is just such an amazing time. And it, at least for me, only really happens at the first part of the day. I might get like another kind of focus cycle later on, but that's never quite as golden as that first one. So to me, I think doing it first thing is just absolutely key. But the other thing is that you're doing that, and then maybe you have a few minutes, you're getting your stuff together, taking the dogs out, whatever, but then you drive to work, and you have a pretty long drive to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember when we were doing the 2-minute habit challenge, I was playing piano. And actually, this was the last time I was playing piano, and it felt amazing. And I don't know why I can't just do this again. Like, there's some block in my head that just doesn't want to do the 2-minute thing. But what I would do is I'd sit down, play piano for a hard 2 minutes. The timer would go off and I'm like hands off the keys, which was kind of torturous. But and we won't get back into why that was interesting or why, you know, whatever. But I do the 2 minutes and then I go walk the dog immediately. And when I walk the dog, like, I'm just walking the dog. And it's usually about a half hour walk, where it's just me and him, and I typically wouldn't take my phone with me, so I'm just kind of there. And so almost inevitably, I would be thinking about what I was working on the piano. It's like it's really fresh in my head. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, I'm just kind of visualizing and thinking through the notes that I was playing. And I think that the value of that 2 minutes, it was more about that 30-minute dog walk after. Like, that's where a lot of the actual learning and progression happened, from thinking about it. And, you know, we've talked at length about this too, but you remember things by trying to recall them, not by inserting them into your brain or reading it over and over. You remember by having to, like, pull it out of your head. And so on the dog walk, I'm having to think back to what I did and visualize it and try and remember how my fingers went. And I think that made it stick so much better than it ever would have otherwise. I think it was better that way in terms of memory than it would have been if I was sitting there playing it over and over. So I think that there's something about that that is really valuable. You're describing how you do it first thing and you're kind of thinking about it the rest of the day. I think that's actually huge.
Yeah, absolutely. The morning thing was definitely intentional. I stumbled upon the sacredness of the morning a couple years ago and just sort of realized how extremely powerful doing that first thing in the morning was. So I definitely knew I wanted to do this in the morning. And I will also do it at night when I can. But yeah, so there's that. And then what I'm finding is that everything sort of lights up. Not everything. A lot of things sort of light up during the day. And I get excited about this because, you know, like this morning I'm drawing and I'm sort of, oh man, I'm kind of just reusing the same ideas I had, you know, the last couple days or whatever. I'm just sort of recycling things or this isn't great. So I want to find new stuff. And so throughout the day, I'm just kind of thinking of new things to do or looking things up and getting really excited about, oh, I could try doing this or this or this or whatever, and trying to think of new ways to get new information in my head or whatever so I can try it out. And I'm just continuing to get excited about new things to try. And I'm also just getting excited throughout the day because I'm thinking about it so much. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't really happened. I mean, I've felt all these same emotions before doing this, but it wasn't so intentional. It was kind of incidental because I'm working on a project that keeps me drawing every day in this way, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time I've sort of intentionally stumbled on this. But yeah, I'm absolutely thinking about it throughout the day. And trying to find the answers to the questions that come up when I'm doing the drawing. So even if I have a really bad morning where I just draw some of the worst stuff ever, I'm thinking about, well, how could I have gotten it right throughout the whole day? And I'm looking for those answers. And sometimes you get it right the next day. So, you know, there's a lot of things I'm still looking for, but
yeah. It's funny because I think about guitar playing sometimes now, and it's entirely guilt oriented. You know, I see the guitar sitting on the wall, I'm like, man, I haven't played that in a month or more, and why can't I get my act together, and like, all the thoughts are negative and bad and unproductive, and all I'm doing is adding to the guilt snowball that is just slowly building of me and that guitar, and the emotional burden gets bigger and bigger, which is stupid, and I know it's stupid, and whatever, that's just where it's at. But it's funny because even just what you're describing, this very short session, you know, 10 minutes in the morning, and suddenly all of that shifts to where when you're thinking about drawing during the day, you're thinking about actual things you've run into and issues and problems to solve, or, you know, like you said, how does a nose work? What does it really look like? Well, now you're staring at everybody's nose, trying to figure out how you would draw that, whatever. Like, it's such a productive, useful way to be thinking rather than, you know, even if you did it at the end of the day, it becomes different. Like, you're thinking, oh, I got to draw tonight and make sure I don't miss it. And what about this or that? Like, it's more of an anxiety oriented thing, or it can be. So
right.
I think that as simple as it sounds, the way that you have engineered this is really working in your favor. Like, there's a lot of little things that end up making the difference.
Yes. So some of the issues that I can see with this.
Okay, yeah, let's hear that.
Actually, I'll get to that in a second. The one of the reasons why I think it's working for me is that in the past, as far as art goes, it's always been, okay, I want to do 5 paintings this year, or I want to do this picture. It's always or I want to fill up this whole sketchbook, or I want to do a new drawing every single day. It's always these very specific, product isn't the right word, but it's the only one I could think of. It's like these specific products. I want to fill up a whole sketchbook. I want to do these paintings, whatever. It's always this specific thing. And the problem with that is that you just can't keep up with it, or something goes wrong and it takes longer than you think, whatever. And you're just falling short of that stuff. I've also had some success with that where, okay, I want to do a painting by the end of this month or whatever. And I've been able to do that. But a lot of the time, most of the times, I'm falling short of that. And then you get that guilt feeling, the guilt snowball, and it just gets worse and worse. And then you kind of lose your confidence or whatever. And you just feel rusty and it all kind of falls apart. This is different because the reward is the effort, not the product. And I think, I really hope this continues for the whole year, or me feeling this way about it. And I hope I don't hit some sort of trap or something, but I think this is it. I mean, not the answer to everything, but I think this feeling feels so much more right than coming up with specific goals to hit. I also need that. And that's when we'll get into problems. But just the fact that this, and I'm tracking this on the day tracker that I made. So every single day, I'm filling in a little bubble for the whole year. And that in itself, I think, gives me a long-term reward for the whole year. At the end of the year, I want to look at that thing and I want to see all bubbles filled in. And if there's any missing, whatever, that's fine. I did this with pull-ups last year and it was great. There was a lot of chunks missing, mostly because I just completely forgot about it. I wasn't able to make that a habit, really. And it wasn't something I super cared about. I don't know why I chose pull-ups, but I did. But it was really cool to see the bubbles filled out. And it's like data. Like, okay, I can stay excited about something for about a month or 3 months. And then I start falling off or I forget about it or whatever. Like, it's just really cool to see that exact data from that year. So this year I'm doing it with art or the drawing for 10 minutes. And it, just filling in the days is sort of this long-term reward that I think that's sort of a key piece to this. And it's a physical piece of paper that's sitting in a very important spot in my office. So I'm definitely going to see it. So it's a reminder. It's a sort of long-term reward and a daily reward. Just filling in the bubble is weirdly satisfying. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's another aspect of this that just sort of makes it work. Whereas if I didn't have that, it would be up to my brain to remember. And absolutely, I would be forgetting about 2 weeks in.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's just how it always is. Yeah. But okay. You want to move to problems?
Yeah. Well, one more quick comment that I just want to take note of in terms of the things that I think are really nice about this is you have this set up to where there is a moment or a little chunk of time during the day where this is the only thing that you are supposed to be doing. Now you get up, as long as you get up at the right time, you have this gap and you have things lined up to where this is what is supposed to happen. And you are not making choices every day between this and something else that's competing for it. You know, if you get home after work and your friends want to go hang out, but you're like, no, I have to draw, but I don't know. That would probably not work. But the fact that you have designed this in a way where the only real choice is, do I get out of bed or not? Then, like, that I think is very key. And that this is where this activity goes. It's where it's supposed to go. And you, as much as possible, aren't choosing between this and something else. All right. So, let's talk about problems. Here's my first question. If/when, not to be negative, this goes south, how do you foresee that happening? What do you think it would be that would disrupt the habit?
Well,
I'll tell you what I think it'll be, but let's hear what you think.
Well, let's hear what you think it'll be.
I think
I have a couple, but go ahead.
I think you will. Not will. I have faith in you, but if this is to go south, I think what will happen is you will, I don't know, have a rough day at work, be feeling kind of weird or do something discouraging or who knows. I don't know. You'll be like not really feeling it. And so you end up on the couch watching a show, drinking some whiskey, winds up getting really late. You're like, man, it's 1 a.m. It's 2 a.m. I should go to bed. Fine. Go to bed. And then you're super tired. and you're like, forget it, I'm not getting out of bed. I'm just going to snooze until I can't anymore. And then you're like, crap, it's time for work. So you get up and you drive to work. That's how I think it'll go south.
Well, I am absolutely expecting that, because that sounds like a pretty typical or common night for me. And I'm okay with missing a few days out of the year. Like the whole, it has to be absolutely every single day for the year. I don't really care. I mean, if it doesn't make sense that day for 10 minutes, I mean, it's just 10 minutes. If I can scribble for 10 minutes, then I'll accept it and I will check it off. But if I miss a day, probably what will happen is I will forget, because that happened so much with the pull-up challenge. I couldn't find a place in my routine to fit the pull-ups. And so I would just completely forget. It's not that I didn't want to do them. I just forgot about them.
But I think that's working in your favor this time, where you do have a place. I don't think you're going to forget. Yeah. You know that this is the thing you do before work, or you are supposed to. So I think you're way better off in that sense.
Yeah. But as far as having a single day where I feel awful and don't want to scribble for 10 minutes, it is definitely possible. It might happen. I will forgive myself for that. The goal is to fill up as many bubbles as I possibly can for the year, not to hit a perfect, it must be 100%. Because if that was the goal, if I miss one, then I might as well give up the whole thing. And the goal is longevity. It's to get through as many days as I can out of the year. Right. So I don't want to feel like a failure if I miss one day.
Okay. Well, I should have clarified, or I should have expanded this. So my concern for you is not missing a day. You said, who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
It is the habit being destroyed, you know, where you're just not doing it anymore. And then you show up like, oh, I haven't done it in 2 months and I feel really crappy. I don't know what to do now. So my scenario is the seed. It's the little chunk of ice that starts the snowball, you know? And so the worry is not so much that it happens. I mean, don't stay up till 2 a.m. drinking whiskey on the couch. Like, that's not great. But it's not so much that it happens. It's that it happens and then it begins to sort of spiral. And I mean, you know how it is.
I do.
It doesn't take too long before you really start feeling crappy about things, and then that just increases the barrier of getting back to it. And you're like, I'm just not going to be getting up early anymore, or whatever, right? So
yeah,
I think if you can minimize the number of times that like the bad thing happens to begin with, that's probably good. You know, you don't want to be doing this once or twice a week, you know, but once in a blue moon, sure, that happens to all of us. But then, like, your mindset of, you know, hey, one day, not a big deal, let's just get back to it, I think is great. And as much as possible, trying to squash the snowball before it gets big, just go, hey, it's been 2 days, let's just get back to it. Worst case, I'm going to draw for 1 minute. I don't care. Just something to get it going again. And then you can, like, tamp that down. I think that is the right way to think about that.
Absolutely. And I am afraid of my future self, especially what I have found. There's a couple specific reasons that I don't want to mention, but also I think it's just kind of the seasons change. But I think the last 3 years, I begin to fall off really bad around August. But I have a few reasons, but for some reason, I start to fall apart around August. And then the rest of the year, I kind of just sort of give up. And one of the reasons, which I discovered this year, was I think it's because I build up so many goals at the beginning of the year. And around August, you start to realize, oh, I'm not going to hit those goals. And so it's that the crash, like it's the curve. You feel great at the beginning of the year. You sort of level out. And then you start coming down and you realize, oh yeah, I suck. I don't ever do anything. And then it just kind of crashes and you just sort of, I don't know, ride out the rest of the year and you just kind of give up. And then at the beginning of this year, I've let go of all of those goals from last year. I feel super excited and I'm happy again. So I'm on the up curve. or the upwards trajectory, and I'm feeling good right now. I am a little worried about the future, but that's not even like the consistency part of it isn't even really what I'm worried about. What I am finding is that I love playing around in my sketchbook. I love it. It's great. And I feel like I'm learning. I feel like I'm getting better. I'm removing resistance. It's great. I have extremely limited time in my week or in my life. And if all I do is play around, what do I have to show? Because these drawings are not really to a level where I could show. Maybe I have like a little snippet here or there that I could post somewhere, whatever. But it's not like I'm going to be selling them or building some sort of giant, you know, brand out of these little sketches. Like they're just for me. I would not show anyone my sketchbook. Now, I'm hoping that, you know, maybe a year or two, or 6 months from now or whatever, it would be cool if, you know, one out of every three drawings I did, I would be able to show them. Like they'd be to a level where I'd feel comfortable showing them or whatever. Like that would be great. But I'm spending all of my drawing time doing this, like playing around, drawing stuff, which is great. And I'm coming up with ideas, and I have ideas for, or starting to come up with ideas for future paintings or whatever. But all of my time is spent doing this. So am I going to have anything to show?
Yeah.
For this whole year? I mean, so, I mean, you know, if I have to post sketches, I can do that. But really, I would prefer to have bigger concrete stuff. And like at the moment, I'm focusing on the drawing ability and the fun and coming up with ideas. But how long does that last? When do I need to switch to specific? Okay, I need to do another painting, or I need to, I don't know. The personal fulfillment drawing skills is what I'm working on now. But the public facing, I need more art to show people because I want to be an independent artist. That side of it is sort of just kind of in limbo right now. And I don't really, I'm not completely sure how to transfer this stuff to finished, you know, products or whatever, like a finished thing to put out. But I'm trying not to worry about that right now, but I see that in the future as possibly being a conflict of interests, I guess. Yeah. Is this feels really good, but I do need results at some point. Like I need to make finished things. So
yeah, maybe we can talk more about that, you know, in a little while when you're kind of farther down the path. But one quick thought on that. One of the things that I noticed when I was recording a lot of YouTube videos, and even recently I started dabbling a little bit in getting back to it, but I would have something that I wanted to deliver. You know, it's a performance in a sense. And so I'm saying lines to the camera, and I'm gesturing and drawing and explaining and doing whatever. And then I would listen to it back, and I'm like, oh, this sucks. Like, I gotta try harder and do this better. And so I do another take or a couple more takes and listen back. I'm like, oh, whatever. This is terrible. And then sometimes I'm like, all right, you know what? I keep messing up my words here, or I keep flubbing something. So I'll just do like a practice run. Like, I'm not gonna keep this one. I'm not gonna try and be all energetic or whatever. I'm just gonna just run through it, just say it, you know, just like I'm talking to you right now. And so I just do that, like, okay, this, that, whatever, the other thing. And then I listen to it back in the playback, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so much better. Like, me not performing and not putting on the, hi, it's me, Mr. YouTube man, just acting like a normal freaking human and talking like a normal human works so much better. It's so much more natural. It just, it's like, this is what I should have been doing the whole time. But it's hard because then you go, you start shooting again, and you're like, okay, now this is me being natural and relaxed, and it comes out stupid again. Like, I have to somehow not care and do this like I'm not going to keep it, and that's the one that really counts. Anyway, there might be something to, I mean, I know that you're just kind of sketching and doing whatever, and that's not the kind of thing you would necessarily want to show, you know, you would want more finished art, something that's rendered at a higher detail level and all that. But if you could get to the point where you're able to do that level of work in a way that feels like you're just sitting down drawing in your sketchbook, where you aren't Mr. Professional do real stuff mode, right, Daniel, then you might be able to just do it and have it come out feeling really good and really free and relaxed. It's a hard thing to do, but
that's exactly what I'm after.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you can just sort of slowly trick yourself into being able to do things that you could use and publish in a way that feels like you're not doing that. I think that would be perfect.
That is absolutely what I am trying to get to.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just not going to worry about that so much right now and just focus on what feels good, playing around, see what happens, and hopefully it kind of just organically develops. But I don't want to take forever. I want stuff to show, but at the same time, yeah, it is sort of, it's exactly like that. Yes. Yeah. So,
well, whatever the case, you're in a good spot right now, and that's fantastic. So I would say just lean into that for a while and feel really good about it. And then if you want to start thinking about how to morph things a little, then cool. But, you know, no big rush on that, especially if you're just in a good place right now.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm also doing 10 minutes of, I don't want to talk about this, but I'm also doing 10 minute workouts a day. And by 10 minutes, I mean, you do it for 10 minutes. And if you really want to stop and go sit on the couch and drink whiskey until 2 o'clock, you can do that. But typically after you work out for 10 minutes, you want to complete the workout. So,
yeah.
So I'm very proud of myself for choosing these two things. Because so far, I've been doing both of these for about a month and a half. So I know that New Year's only been like a week, but it's been going really well. So
that's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, I was working out pretty hard and I fell off over the holidays, which I'm like willing to forgive myself for, you know, whatever, weird stuff going on, not eating very well. But getting back to it has been so difficult because, you know, I've been doing it very consistently. The lifting in particular, I was doing a routine that was just really hard and it's long. It's like an hour and a half at minimum of pretty intense lifting the whole time. And I'm like doing it regularly. I'm like, oh man, this is tough, but I got this. I'm like progressing every day and like, oh, this is hardcore, but it feels so good. But then I take this break and I try to go back to it and I start the workout and I feel like I'm just run over by a truck. Like, how did I even do this 2 weeks ago? And so I don't even get through it. And then there's this big burden there, like emotional burden of, oh my God, I'm supposed to lift today, but it is so hard and I don't want to do it. And it makes me not want to do it. And I'm like a week out. Then, like, tomorrow, I'm supposed to lift tomorrow, but I there's something about having built it up so much and made it so intense. You know, that's great for progression, but it's made getting back to it so difficult. I think I just need to like drop it down, start a little lower, and kind of work my way back up. But there is this counter. I don't know. There's a cost to going really hard and really pushing yourself, and that it can like generate this feeling of, ugh, I don't want to do this.
Well, it's kind of this, it's the curves again. Mm-hmm. When you're doing it for the first time, you've never hit this weight before. This is the biggest thing ever. You're going up, feels great. If you drop out or if you drop off, then you're sort of on the decline again. Even if you're trying to build back up, it's just this, it sucks. So, I mean, if it's keeping you from working out, just screw it and do something else and then build it back up or whatever.
Yeah.
Humans are stupid. I hate that this happens. That it's just so emotionally difficult to do a thing sometimes.
Yep.
But yeah,
things that are even good for you or satisfying or make you a happier, healthier person, like that, we're not, that's the kind of stuff we're trying to do, stuff that's just objectively good. And it's so freaking hard. It is a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
We are designed to conserve energy and become as fat as possible so that we don't starve to death in the winter. Like, we are built for
laziness.
Energy accumulation. It's tough.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much all I have to say on the 10-minute thing.
Cool. Me too. I'm going to want to talk more about habits soon. Like I said, I'm kind of working on a little bit of a project and playing around with it. So it might be fun to talk about that along the way. But congrats. Good job on getting yourself into a good spot. I admire it. And I'm in a good spot in some places, but there's other areas that definitely aren't. So I might steal some of your strats.
Yeah, cool. You can have them.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.